After yesterday's pictures, today's some maths. Now, how is your differentiation? Are you okay on differentiation? Good. Because you're going to get some practice today. That's what we're going to be doing. Okay, so what I want to talk today is about... Yesterday we did data exploration and visualization, looking at the data. In particular, you know, one of the things we're doing is to plot the data as histograms. You know, we might have something like that. And you might say, well, what does that look like? Does it look like it comes from some distribution? For example, does it look like it comes from a normal distribution? Or if we have a set of counts, you know, 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and we see that, yeah, there's a few of those, and we've had some twos, so like siblings or something like that. Does that look like that comes from a Poisson distribution, which might look like that? Does that look like a Poisson distribution? Well, how can we fit distributions to data? And that's what we're doing today. Okay, so, right, maths. Back to random variables. We're going to do the maths of fitting distributions, of estimating the parameters in a distribution. Now, the first thing I'm going to do is slightly change the notation. It's kind of traditional in a lot of this work to use theta as a general Greek letter for the unknown parameters of a distribution. Now, you know, in particular distributions, we might use something else, but as a sort of general parameter, an unknown quantity, some unknown parameter, theta, we're going to use that. At the moment, I'm just assuming there's one parameter, later we'll have a vector. Now, last week we learnt about the fact that we might have observation, random variables x1 to xn, independent and identically distributed, coming from some probability density with unknown theta. And since they're independent, when we work out the joint density of the observations, we just multiply together the individual densities. Okay, now the first really important concept is likelihood. This is a really important idea. Likelihood is what the data essentially is telling us about a parameter. It's something that's proportional to the joint density. But look, I've changed the order. This is likelihood is a function of the parameter, not a function of the data. It's a function of the parameter. So it's what does that data tell us about the plausible values for the parameter? The plausible values. What are the, you know, likely values for some parameter? And we can draw, we'll show in a minute, we draw it. You know, we produce some pictures. It contains the parts of the joint density that contain theta. All the other bits don't matter. So I think the best way to show this is an example. In a binomial distribution, which is, we consider the sum of n Bernoulli variables, and it's not very good notation really, but I'm using x as the sum of the n variables. I maybe should have used r or something like that. But anyway, the density there is this ncx, theta to the x, 1 minus theta to the n minus x. When we look at the likelihood, we just ignore this. All these constants that involve numbers and the data, we just ignore. We just look at it as a function of theta. And it's only got a proportionality. It doesn't matter what the constant is. It's just as it's proportional to that. So if we get some data, we can plug it into there. So in my next observation, I said, what happens if we do 10 experiments and we get 3 successes? So I got a coin. Now, this is a special coin, you know, which I don't, it's not even, it's not balanced. I don't know what the real probability is. And so if I flick it 10 times and get 3 heads, what do I think the underlying chance theta actually is. So I put 3 in there, I put 7 in there, and I get a picture like that coming out. You see, that's if we get 3 out of 10 successes, this is what that data tells us about this parameter. And it's sort of quite intuitive, because it's quite nice. It's round about 30%, 3 out of 10. But, you know, well, it could be up here, it could be down here. It gives a very intuitive picture for what the underlying chance might be. If we did 100, if I had, a coin is a bad example because it looks balanced. Let's think of something where, what should I do?
Dice,
yeah, no, that again, we know the probabilities. I want something where we don't know the probability. Something where, I don't know, a new drug, somebody says, this takes the pain away. This, will cure your headache. And say, let's try it. So you try it on 100 people, and it works 30 times. So let's say that. So we don't know, it might not work at all, it might always work, we don't know. It works 30 times. Then we get this nice distribution. When we plug in those values into that formula, we put 30 there. What do we put there? 70. Yeah, we put 30 there, 70 there. When you plot that, you get a really nice picture coming up. It's really good. It looks quite normal as well. This tends towards a normal distribution. Now, these can look quite strange. What happens if this drug, I try it 10 times, it never works. It's completely useless. I've always got this headache. 10 times I've taken these tablets and I've still got the headache. Well, that's what would happen to 0 out of 10 successes. It says, actually, the most likely value is that it's completely useless. But it might work. I might just have been unlucky. It's possible that it was around 20%. I might just have been unlucky. So that's quite a strange-looking likelihood. Now, the crucial idea of, which I think is quite intuitive, is that when we want to choose a parameter value, if we have to choose a single number to use as an estimate, you take the maximum value of the likelihood, the maximum likelihood estimate, theta hat. So here, I would take this maximum value. There, I would take that maximum value, where that is, and use that as my estimate. And here, I would take 0 as my maximum likelihood estimate. So it seems quite intuitive idea. Okay. How do we find that maximum? Well, this is where the differentiation comes in, because we've got to find them. We've got a function, and we want to find the maximum of the function. So, in most cases, we can find this value by differentiation, but not in that. We couldn't differentiate. If we differentiated that, we wouldn't find 0. It wouldn't be 0. It's on the edge. So it doesn't always work. You have to be careful. But if it's a nice thing like that, if we differentiate and set to 0, we can find where the maximum is. Okay, so it's a really good use of differentiation. Now, it turns out that rather than directly finding the maximum of the likelihood, it's usually easier to find the maximum of the log likelihood, the natural logarithm of the likelihood. And that's what we're going to use a lot. The natural log of the likelihood. We even give that a special little symbol, a little curly L. That is the natural log of the likelihood. So the idea is that we differentiate that. Now, it turns out that if I can find the maximum of this, it's going to be the same as the maximum of that. Because something that maximizes the log of a function is also maximizes the function. Now, you can see that by the fact that if I take the derivative of L of theta, that's the same as d by d theta of log capital L of theta. But the derivative of the log of a function, if you remember, is the derivative of the function divided by the function. So if that is zero, that will be zero. They're both going to be zero, provided that is not zero itself, provided that there's a value to the function. So these, all I need to do then is to find the maximum of the log likelihood. And the same thing works for a vector. We'll see a vector example. I have to take the derivative with respect to all the parameters and set them to zero. So I'm maximizing a function of many parameters. Okay, so now we're back to, okay, here's an example then. This is the kind of, you know, stuff we're going to get you to doing. Binomial. Remember, the likelihood looked like that. When I take the logarithm of that, I hope I get this right. Tell me if I'm making mistakes. It's easy to do. When I take the logarithm, I get some constant, which doesn't matter, plus x log theta plus n minus x log 1 minus theta. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Yep, take the log. Now, I take the derivative of that. Now, this is where you've got to get back to old differentiation. I take the derivative of that with respect to theta. The x, that's a constant. That goes into 1 over theta. This one, you've got to watch the minus signs. Very easy to get the minus signs wrong. That's just a constant. When I take the derivative of log 1 minus theta, I get a 1 minus theta, but I get a minus outside. By the chain rule, you're taking the derivative of a function. So it's the derivative, it's 1 over theta, 1 over the function times the derivative of the function. Okay, now I just set that to 0. And when I set that to 0, check, actually, can you check, if you've got a piece of paper, can you check that? Just check, feel, make sure you feel happy yourself. X over theta minus n minus x over 1 minus theta equals 0. Okay, just check when you solve that. Let me see how I did it. You get x over theta equals n minus x over 1 minus theta. You get x minus x. Is it okay? N theta minus x theta. Yep. These cancel out. You divide the and you get theta equals x over n. And that is your maximum. So really cool. And it's just what you'd expect. You just use the proportion. This is the number of successes over the number of the trials. So that means that for this one, it's just 30%. That maximum is at exactly 0.3. For that, it's exactly 0.3. Doesn't work for this. Can't differentiate that. You just have to look at it. Okay, so that's... I think that's quite nice. Okay, oh, there's some nice stuff. This is getting better. Right. Okay, now, what about fitting? So now we can fit a binomial distribution. It's the intuitive thing. Now, what about if we've got some data and we want to fit a normal distribution? Nah. Now, this looks getting nice. Oh, by the way, I've changed it on the thing. I made a mistake in the formula for the normal distribution in the fourth lecture. I put that was only sigma inside the square root. Okay, now, this is where you need a clear head. That's the formula for the joint, that shouldn't have an underline in it. That's just the density for a single observation with mean mu and variance sigma squared. So that should be a single observation. When I multiply those together, and take the logarithm. Now look at this. I take the log, so that comes down, and I just get minus the sum xi minus mu squared over 2 sigma squared. And then this bit, now you've got to be careful, you've got what have you got? What's the best way to think of it? You've got a 2 pi sigma squared to the half, then you've got n of these, so it's n over 2, and then when you take the log, you've got n over 2 minus the sigma squared. This doesn't matter. The 2 pi's don't matter at all. You can ignore this stuff. Doesn't matter at all. You are just looking at the parameters, what contains the parameters. Okay, so that's the log likelihood. Is that okay? Is that right? Are you following? Cool. Okay, now we're going to do the differentiation. We're going to differentiate it both by mu and by sigma squared. Okay, and make them all equal to zero. So we're maximizing this over two parameters. We can think of this as a two-dimensional surface. We're maximizing. Okay, first one, differentiate by mu, that disappears. We get the 2 comes down, cancels with that, and the minus sign cancels as well. And we end up with that. Okay, now, how do we solve that? Can you see? Yes, yes. Can you see that? Well, that's another one where we've got to. I'm just checking it's right. I think it's right. When we get that, what we're really saying, we could say write that as 1 over sigma hat squared sum of xi minus mu hat equals 0. Well, that goes out. And we're just left with a sum of xi minus n mu hat equals 0. Remember, when you're summing, you got n of these. And that just gives us immediately mu hat is the sum of xi over n equals x bar. So that's quite nice. We immediately know that when we want to fit a normal distribution, we just take the mean of the observations. Again, intuitive. Now, when we do it, we've now got to differentiate this by sigma squared, more complicated. Let's do this one. That's just a constant. But now we differentiate that, we've got a, we're doing it by sigma squared, so we've got a, the 2 should be still there. The 2 should still be there, sorry. The 2 should still be there. It doesn't cancel out because it's by sigma squared, not by sigma. And in fact, you just get a sigma to the 4th here, a 2 sigma to the 4th. Sorry, I'll change that. And for this one, that's easier. It's just n over 2, and the sigma squared's come underneath. And when you solve this, satisfy yourself, when I put this to, you know, equals that equal, 2 of these cancel out, the 2's cancel out, I end up with some, or what I end up with is saying that, I end up with sigma hat squared is the sum of xi minus mu hat, all squared over n, which is just the sum of xi minus x bar, all squared over n. Okay, so, you know, it's slightly tedious, boring, but you've got to be quite precise and to get the answer. Now, sometimes you may have seen formulas using this, sum of xi bar minus x squared over n minus 1. Sometimes the variance is estimated dividing by n minus 1 rather than n, because this has got some particular properties of being unbiased. You need to be careful. I think R uses, I hope, just uses this one. I hope it does, because we'll be using this one. Okay, so what I can do now, and what you're going to do in the practical, is do some cool stuff like this. Where this was height, and this is the distribution of heights, and I've just fitted a normal curve to that and plotted it on top. Do you think it fits? Do you think that's good? What do you think? Bit of a hole there. Don't know. I mean, it's got a bit of a longer tail down here. It might be better if we did it separately for men and women. It might be better. Well, we can check. Yeah, sorry.
I think we can say
Yep. Well, this is the mu is the population mean, and we're estimating it with the sample mean. So this is the mean of the observations. The sample mean, so it's a small x, it's just an actual statistic. And this is an estimate of mu, which is the population mean. So yeah, this is the distribution is the population. So that's another way, thanks for that, because that's another way of thinking of it as the distribution is the population. But I'm just observing a few data points and trying to estimate where this is. It's a population with an unknown parameters. Oh, I see. Yes, you should check that it's a maximum rather than a minimum. Yeah, no, exactly. It could give you a minimum, which would be disastrous. Yeah, no, exactly. But if you take the second derivative, you can show it's negative. You could do that if you wanted to be precise. Yes, absolutely. If I take a second derivative, these would be negative, showing these are maximum. Yeah. Well, the maximum likelihood will always give you n on the bottom. Other ways, you know, looking for unbiasedness will give you n minus 1. Both are used. Usually there's an option in a calculator, decide which one you want to use. I actually prefer this one because I like the maximum likelihood principle. So it's a matter of, there's no correct one. It's slightly arbitrary which one. It depends what properties you want. And it's not much difference anyway if you've got some reasonable data. The other thing is that we can do this, and I will get you doing this for some simple examples. In more realistic situations, we can't do the maximization in closed form. We have to use iterative methods, and they're built into R. When we are fitting regression models, complex regression models, we can't get this into a formula, and it has to be the maximization has to be done numerically. But that's what the packages are for. And so in most realistic circumstances, this is all done numerically as a piece of numerical optimization, not using nice mathematics particularly. It's only in these simple situations we can. Yeah. Oh, it's just that, two reasons. First of all, the mathematics is easier. There's a good reason. It's much easier. If you take the logarithm, you get an additive function. Much easier to max. The maths is a lot easier to maximize. If you try max, if you maximize this directly, you'll get the same answer. It'll be more difficult. It's more difficult to differentiate this than it is to differentiate the log. So, but there's also some theoretical reasons, which we'll see after the break, why the log likelihood gives you extra information. The log likelihood is the natural scale to work on. It's quadratic. It looks like a quadrat. I should have plotted that. When you plot a log likelihood, it looks like a quadratic curve. And that's the reason. Yeah. So there's two reasons to take a log. This is taking a log of the function, the likelihood, to turn it into something that's mathematically nicer. We'll look at the other ones. The other idea, though, is to take, when you're taking log of the data. So there's two different reasons to take log. When you take a log of the data, is when you have data that looks, if I've got a histogram that looks like that, goes up and with a long right-hand turn, very often it's good to take a log, because it'll turn it into something that looks like that. There's one, some data, I think the breath data looks much better if you take the logarithm of it, because most people are down here, but some people can hold their breath for hours, so it's best to take the log. Yeah. Yes. Remember, I'm differentiating by sigma squared, not by sigma. So that when I get, I hope I got this right. What have we got? We got a minus n over 2 log sigma squared. So I'm doing a d by d sigma squared of that. So I got the minus n over 2 just comes out. And then I've got a d by d sigma squared of log sigma squared, which will just be minus n over 2 sigma squared. So I didn't write that very clearly. But remember, it's so the crucial thing is that sigma squared is the single quantity. Well, you see, yeah, I could have done it by sigma. You get the same results if you do it all but in terms of sigma. But the it's normal to get the maximum likelihood estimate of sigma squared. Maybe I should have done it all in terms of sigma. Actually, it's a good exercise. If I did it all in terms of sigma, you'll get exactly the same answer. Because as we'll show afterwards, maximum likelihood estimates are invariant to the parameterization. So I could have done this all as sigma, and I would end up with sigma hat is the square root of sum of xi minus x bar all squared over n. And actually, I wish I'd done it like that, because I think it would have been easier to do it in that. You're doing it that way. Okay. Yeah, one more. Right. Ah, yeah, exactly. This is all IID, when I can just multiply them up. You have to find the form for the joint density. Now, if they're correlated, you can't just get this by adding up the individual terms. If they're not independent, you have to have a mathematical form for the joint distribution, which will be tied up. They won't just be multiplied together. So, whatever dependence you're assuming, you have to make some assumptions about that. And then you do the same thing. You still carry on doing all this, but it will be more complicated. Yeah. Oh, yes. No, that's what I said. Well, you could take a second derivative. Well, actually, we'll do that in a moment. The next one, we're going to be taking the second derivative and showing it's negative. So then you can check it's a maximum. Yeah. So you should, if you're being precise, you should take a second derivative and check it's a maximum. I mean, the real danger are things like this. That's the real danger, because unless you realize you won't get a minimum, you won't get a maximum. If you try this, there's no maximum. So it won't work. There's no point, no differentiation. Where it's zero. Ah, yes, if you do the differential there, yes, this is a good example. It goes to zero down here, which is the worst possible value. Yeah, now this is an example where you'd want to make sure it was a maximum, not a minimum. Because the data, that's quite an interesting example. This likelihood has got the formula. Well, let's do it. There's naught out of 10 successes. So the likelihood is theta to the x, 1 minus theta to the n minus x. So in this case, it's 1 minus theta to the 10. So, because there's no x is 0. Okay, so the log likelihood, L of theta given x, equals 10 log 1 minus theta. If I take the derivative, I get 10 minus 10 over 1 minus theta. Is that right?
Yeah.
Now, if I try setting that to 0, I can't do it. That goes to... It won't work, will it? Why doesn't the derivative, when theta is 1, the derivative I would expect to go to 0. But but it goes to infinity. Why not? It looks like it should be. Oh, it's the log likelihood. Yes. That's the point. This is where, because the log likelihood, remember, is the light divided by L. But where that goes to zero, these do not go to the same value. Yes. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Right. Sorry. I'll stop. I run over a bit there. Questions. Okay. Have a break, and we'll come back. Yeah, we'll come back at 5:10.
I just wanted to show. I mean, this. I realize. I wish I had done this in terms of sigma. And maybe, you know, I just wanted to suppose to see whether I got a better. It all turned out a bit easier. Because if I do this, I end up with some constant minus the same thing, sum of xi minus mu all squared over 2 sigma squared minus n over 2 log sigma squared. And now I can consider that n log sigma. Let's do this in terms of sigma. So if I differentiate this by sigma, I get that goes out. Now I've got a sum of xi minus mu all squared over 2. And now this is a sigma minus sigma to the minus 2. So I get that, I think. Is that okay? Because that's a minus sigma. And then I guess I get an n. Oh, this is easier. N over sigma. Oh, look, this is much easier. Yeah. And now I just let this equal 0. And I get sigma hat squared is sum of xi minus mu all squared over n. It was easier that way. All right, I'll change the slide. So I should have done this in terms of just sigma. Then I get a cube at the bottom, single one of those, and it all works. Is that all right? So it shows it doesn't matter which parameterization you use. I'll change that. Okay, so you will be doing some of these things in the practical. And before we finish, I'll talk a bit about the R commands for doing this. But first, some more theory. Ba-ba! Okay. The next thing, we've seen how to calculate maximum likelihood estimates. Really important bit of theory. But we want to know how accurate they might be. We know now with theta hat, what we really want is to show two things. First of all, that as the sample size gets bigger, this goes to the true value. Okay, now, I'm now assuming that there is some true value, that it really is a normal distribution or something like that, that we really are estimating the parameter. And this is known as consistency, that you do get the right answer in the end. And the other thing we want to know is what is the variance of it, approximately. What is the variability? How accurate is this estimate? And how does that change as we get more data? And there's some very nice theory for this. It's rather beautiful. It's extraordinary. Okay, to do that, we have to calculate this thing called the Fisher information. And the Fisher information tells us how much information is in the likelihood for a single observation. And for this, we need the second derivative of the log likelihood. We know that's going to be negative if it's a maximum. So we need to take minus, and that tells us how much information is in the likelihood. What we're really doing is, if this is the log likelihood here, which will look something like that, we want to know the curvature around here, the second derivative. How big we expect the curvature to be. The more curved this is, the more information there is, the more accurate, more information there is in the data about the parameter. So we're measuring the curvature here. And so this is the Fisher information. Okay. So this is just more differentiation, the second derivative. So for example, let's take a single Bernoulli observation. So a single Bernoulli, which makes up the binomial. So single Bernoulli, if you remember, a Bernoulli takes on value 0 or 1, and it's taking on value 1 with parameter with value theta, probability theta, and 0 with probability 1 minus theta. Now, and the formula for that, it means the density is theta to the x, 1 minus theta to the 1 minus x. So you can see that x can only be 0 or 1. If x is 1, this is theta, because that goes out. And if x is 0, that goes out, and we're left with 1 minus theta. So it's just a neat way of writing down this density. And you can see that the binomial is just a multiple of these. Okay, now, what we want, the rules are, you take the first derivative. So I take the first derivative, first rule is take the logarithm of this. So L, and then I get x log theta plus 1 minus x log 1 minus theta. Now, I've got a slide at the end with about 9 stages you have to go through listing all these out, which to test you. So we'll get to that. So you take the logarithm, then you take the first derivative, which is x over theta minus 1 minus x over 1 minus theta. The minus is in there because of it's the minus in the function inside the log. Then we take the second derivative of this, so with respect to theta. So we take the derivative of that with respect to theta. We get x minus x over theta squared. Have I got this right? Yeah, because there's 3 minuses going on. There's 1 minus there. There's a minus because this is to the power minus 1. And there's a minus because it's very easy to make a mistake. Very easy to make a mistake. I think I made, when I was doing this, I always make the mistake. There's 2 minuses there. Okay, nearly there. Then we've got to take the expectation of this and the negative expectation. Now, this is when we have to go back to the original distribution, and we know that the expectation of x is theta, because it's just the probability, the expectation of a Bernoulli is just the probability. So that's nice. So when we take the expectation, now remember the rules, if there's a that just comes outside the expectation. You're going to be using these rules so much. The basic rule that if I'm taking expectation with respect to x of x over theta squared, that's just 1 over theta squared of the expectation of x. You know, the constant comes out. So we're doing that a lot. And when we do that, can you check I got this right? That's theta over theta squared. This is all the negatives get cancelled out, 1 minus theta. Now we can cancel that, and we get 1 over theta plus 1 over 1 minus theta, which is, I hope, 1 minus theta plus theta over theta times 1 minus theta. And we end up with, da-da, that. We get there. So the Fisher information is 1 over theta times 1 minus theta. Okay, and you're going to be doing some of these in a minute. Right, okay. Now I'm not going to prove all this. If you want to prove all this, I'll see some proofs on Wikipedia. Wikipedia Maximum Likelihood has got all this. And you can prove it, you know, quite sort of loosely using some Taylor series, or you can prove it very, very theoretically. I'm not going to bother. I would only make a mistake is hopeless. But there's some very general theory that's been around for a long time that says three things. The estimate will tend towards the true value. We will get the true value. And now this is really nice. The variance of the maximum likelihood estimate, this variance tends to 1 over n times the Fisher information. And that's asymptotically the minimum possible variance. So the maximum likelihood estimator is called an efficient estimator because it tends to the minimum possible variance. And finally, and this is even more beautiful, the distribution is normal distribution. So asymptotically, when n is big, the maximum likelihood estimate has got roughly a normal distribution with mean the true parameter value and variance 1 over n, n over I theta. Now, oh, that shouldn't be P. That shouldn't be P in there. I mixed up my parameters here. So, yeah, it should be theta. No, thank you. So, in a way, you have to slightly accept that. But there's enough work to do just in calculating it. So for a binomial, which we consider is just the sum of Bernoullis, sum of n Bernoullis, then we know that theta hat equals x over n equals the MLE, but also that theta hat asymptotically has a normal distribution with mean the true value, 1 over n Fisher information. And the Fisher information, if you remember, I theta was 1 over theta times 1 minus theta. So this now has actually got a normal distribution with mean theta naught and variance theta times 1 minus theta over n. Now, the problem, you know, so that's, is that okay? And that's just what we showed before, the asymptotic distribution of a binomial was approximately normal with this variance. Now, the problem with this, as we'll see, is that we don't know what this is, what these are. Tomorrow, when we do the theory of confidence intervals, we're going to need an estimate of this variance. But it's got an unknown quantity in it. So what people do is stick the estimate in there. So that's the trick which we're going to do. They put the estimate in there. So you end up saying that the variance, it's rather curious, of x over n is approximately theta hat times 1 minus theta hat over n, which is approximately x over n times 1 minus x over n over n. So you put the maximum likelihood estimate into the variance. Okay, so that's the trick. Okay, now, the other thing that which we've shown already with the sigma is that it's invariant. If you've got a maximum likelihood estimate of theta, and you've got some one-to-one transformation g of theta hat is the MLE of this function. So it doesn't matter what parameters we use, we get the same values. Okay, and that is my final slide. This is what we've done today. Dun, boom. Now you know how to do everything. And this is actually what is going on in R when it's doing its estimation and things like that. It's going through all these stages. Right, and I want you to try this in a minute. I want you to have a go. We have a go on a bit of, yeah. So, okay, the steps are, there's 10 steps that you have to go through to do this. You write down your density for a single observation. You take natural logs to give the log likelihood in that form. Ignoring 2 pi's and n factorials and anything like that that doesn't contain theta. We add that up, add that for n observations. So we get the sum of the log of the densities, which is the likelihood for n observations. We differentiate that with respect to theta and solve for the MLE, and that will give us the MLE. So this evaluated at theta hat will be zero. Okay, so that's number four. We've now got the maximum likelihood estimate. What is its variance? Well, now we've got to go back to the original log likelihood, but now consider it for a single random variable. This was based on some data. This is, in a way, before we see data. It's got a capital X. So we do this stage again, but just for one observation. Take the first derivative, take the second derivative. This is the bit that can be tricky. This is the bit where it's easy to make mistakes. Take the negative expectation to give the Fisher information. And then this has got asymptotic variance 1 over n times I theta. Since theta is unknown, we're generally going to have to shove in the estimate in there. All clear? Great. Right, do it. Here's a challenge. Oh, I forgot I did this, and I've left my piece of paper, so I hope I can do it. Try it. If you've got a piece of paper, I'll leave those up. Try it now with a Poisson distribution. So what I want to know, I've got x1 to xn are from a Poisson theta. That means that f of xi given theta is e to the minus theta to the x over x factorial. X equals 0, 1, 2. Okay. I've got this data. I've observed x1 to xn. What is the maximum likelihood estimate? Theta hat. And what is the variance of theta hat? And you may just need to know, remember that the expectation of x is theta. Right, have a go. You can work together if you want, you can do what you want, but just have a go and see if you can follow those steps. That's step one. Step two, log of f of x I given theta is minus theta plus x log theta minus log of x factorial. So that should be step two. Would be minus n theta plus the sum of xi log theta minus the sum of the log x factorial. So I've added up one of those for each observation to give this as a sum. I can ignore the log x factorial. Yeah, this doesn't matter. Yeah, that's all this is irrelevant. Because when I differentiate, it goes to zero. Anybody want to do step four? Sorry?
Try to find the derivative.
Yeah, the derivative of that. Minus n. So this is d by d theta of this minus n. And what have I got then?
1 over theta.
1 over theta. Sum of xi. Exactly. So I differentiate, that goes out, that comes underneath. Set that to zero. And I get, yep. So I get that theta hat is sum of xi over n is x bar. Is that okay?
So we, for the Poisson distribution, the maximum likelihood estimate is the sample mean. So that's quite nice. Now, stage five. Go back to the beginning. Go back to that one. And now we've got log of f x given theta is minus theta plus x. Now it's a capital because we're going to consider it as a random quantity. Okay. So that's stage five. Anybody want to do the next bit? Who's going to do number six? Guy, shall I give you the board? Okay. Here's number six. So we do want the first derivative of that. Yep, is that okay?
Yeah.
So the first derivative is minus 1 plus x over theta. What's that? That's number 6, is it? Okay. Who's going to do number 7? Guy, you did number 7. You did number 7. Right, okay. So number 7, the second derivative. Here you go. Okay. Right. So minus x over theta squared is the second derivative. Thank you. It's easier to take the derivative of the log than it is of f prime. Yeah. Okay. So, and number 8. Who wants to do number 8? Come on, somebody come and do number 8. So stage 8. Negative expectation, yeah. You have that lot, yeah. Just draw a line down here. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Why, the minuses cancel. Expectation x over theta squared, lovely. No. What? Sorry. I shouldn't say. Yeah, great, thank you. Right. So that's we got the Fisher information. I of theta is 1 over theta. So we're nearly there. Nearly there. Excellent. Oh! I'll start rubbing this off. I've got a number 9 now. Okay, so that's all that lot. And number 9, who wants to do number 9? What's number 9? Well, it's just a straight variance of theta hat is approximately what? 1 over n, and what? Where does the theta go?
Theta is 1.
It's on the top, yeah. So it's about theta over n, the variance of x bar. So the variance of, of the estimated variance x bar is about theta over n. Now, number 10, the problem is we don't know what theta is. So what are we going to put? What do we put in there? Theta hat, yep. So the variance, the approximate variance, is approximately theta hat over n, which is what? Yeah, x bar over n. And that's it. Whew. Whew. So that's that's what you have to go through every time with a new model. That's what, because we'll, that's what the software, every time you fit a statistical model, is doing to tell you what your estimates are and how accurate they might be. Okay. Was that all right? Are there any questions on that? And you can see why the differentiation and the handling the expectations is quite important. I'll put up the solution to this in the, I should have done a slide of it, but I'll put one up of that. Okay, well, any questions? Yeah. Sorry? Step 10. Yeah, now you're right, step 10 is the tricky one. The point is that we do all the mathematics and we get to this answer, but if we want to use this, I'm slightly jumping ahead to tomorrow, because tomorrow we're going to see that when we want to produce intervals, you know, confidence intervals, when we want to give a measure of how accurate our estimates are, we're going to need to know this quantity. We're going to need to know this. But of course we don't know it, because the whole point is that we're trying to estimate this value. So we plug in the best we can do, which is to put this value in there. It's kind of it's a bit unsatisfactory, because we do all this nice mathematics and then we get to something which we can't use, because it contains the unknown quantity we're interested in. So I think when we do intervals tomorrow, we can see why we're doing this. Maybe I should have left this until tomorrow. I hope it'll be clear. Any questions? Okay, I'm just going to, just before finishing, I just want to go back and see if I can, and just show, just rather than doing it upstairs, in a moment we're going to go upstairs and try some of these things. Okay, right. Okay, what I've just put up there, where you can see, there's some advice on using R. So the first things are, most commands are functions with many possible arguments, like color and things like that. And they're mostly set at default values, but try changing the defaults. Now the other thing is to use the help there, because it's quite good and it's got quite a good search thing. So if I do pi, for example, you know, it will find things on pie charts. Open it up. Okay, it's very concise, but it's got the whole language in 4 pages. It hasn't got all the functions, because it's from about 2004, but it just gives you all the all the instructions. So just, it's quite useful just to seeing some of the syntax and things like that. So that's the most concise thing. But what I'm really recommending is this tutorial here, the Quick R, which I really quite like. Let's get rid of this. This one has just got a lot of stuff on, you know, for example, doing basic graphs with, doing bar charts, and just showing the simplest ones, and then how to add various things on, how to do the stacking, and things like that. So I'd really recommend, scatter plots, the simplest ones, and so on, fitting lines, etc. So I really recommend this website. It's very nice. I didn't know about it before, but it's and for statistics, this is what we'll be doing from now on, all these different statistics with guides as to doing all of these things. So this is starting from, this is when we're going to be doing all of these this week, so, and next week. So I think I really recommend that, and the link is there. So finally, okay, I've given some instructions on fitting, doing that normal curve, and there's a few things to note here. First of all, I'm doing it on height. Now, three people didn't give their height. Maybe, I don't know why, but never mind, we don't know their height. And some of these commands, if you have missing values, it fails. You know, they don't like it. So the easiest thing to do is to define a new variable which is na.omit height. And all that does is to remove all the missing data and leave you with a complete data set. Very nice. So we've now got, so I'm doing everything on height there, on the HT, which has not got the missing values. This draws a histogram. This calculates the mean and the variance, which we know are the maximum likelihood estimates. This calculates how many observations we've got. This draws a red histogram. And I hadn't realized that you can just do col equals red. I thought you had to put numbers, but you can just put red. And one of the problems is that if you calculate this histogram, you can draw this histogram. If I draw a histogram here, which I'm doing of the height, I want to fit a curve through there. Now, I don't want to have a little curve like that. I want to have one that matches. Now, I know that every probability density has got area 1. But this histogram has not got area 1. It's got, you know, it's got 1, 2, 3, 4. And so I need to make sure that the distribution I'm plotting has got the same area as the histogram. Now, to do that, I have to calculate the area of the histogram. And that's quite easy, because it's just the number of observations times the width of each of these bins. And that's that total red area. So you see that, so this is, I stole this from this, the QuickR website showed this. So I've got to calculate, first of all, I've got to find out the width of these bins in the histogram. And it turns out that if you store, instead of just plotting the histogram, if you store it in a variable, in an object, h, saves the histogram, and then this h$mids actually stores the points of the where the bins are. So if I take the difference between the first two, it'll give me the width of the bins. So if that finds the width of the bins. Now, I know that the total area is bin width times the number of observations. So that's my scaling factor I'm going to have to put in. So first of all, then, I'm going to have to fit a normal distribution. And that's really quite easy. What you do is, first of all, work out what are the x values, x fit, what are the x values I'm going to plot at? Now, where do I want to plot the curve? And I've decided I'm going to do it on 100 points between the minimum value of the height and the maximum value of the height. And that just gives me a set of 100 points equally spaced between the minimum height and the maximum height. So that's quite nice. It'll just give me 100 points at which to draw the curve. So that's the x values I'm going to fit. Now for the y, I want to calculate the height of a normal distribution at these values with this mean and this standard deviation. And that will then give me a set of points like that. It'll give me all those points like that. Then I'm going to do it using this lines command. Just connect up all these points. They're actually going to be joined up as straight lines, but since there's lots of them, it will look smooth, even though it's actually a polygon. And that's that line. And that will draw, then, the curve.
but I've had to scale it with that. So I think you can do that, but make sure that you sort of understand those commands. Try changing some of these. Try changing the color. This is how thick the line is. You can make it a very thick line, etc. And then I just suggest doing the same thing, but to the different data, to the breath data, or to the log of the breath data. And then if you're feeling really confident, you could start trying to fit a Poisson to the sibling data, or some of these other things. Okie doke, let's go upstairs. But just remember that website and etc.